Welcome to the podcast with me, your host, Dr. Deborah Durst, and my co-host, Faraday.
Hey guys, Faraday Golombieski, nurse practitioner here at Revitalize MD, and today we have a special guest with us.
We have Brandon Vermeier. Is that correct? I'm always bad with a last name or a name in general, but and he is the clinical education specialist with Berkeley Life. And Berkeley Life is a company that we work very closely with and absolutely love their product. So welcome, Brandon. Do you want to go ahead and say a few words, introduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I always love getting to hang out with like-minded professionals, talk about something really cool with nitric oxide. So I actually just recently joined Berkeley Life as their clinical education manager, but I have a lot of extensive experience in the functional medicine space with a background in fitness and nutrition. So nitric oxide is something I've been using personally and with my clients for over 13 years. So it's really a privilege to get to work with Berkeley on the cutting edge of nitric oxide therapeutics. So thank you again for having me. I'm excited to chat with you both.
Well, awesome. Well, we're so happy to have you today. And we're going to go ahead and open the conversation. So you're new to Berkeley Life. Tell us, like, what's your favorite part of, you know, the job so far?
Yeah, I mean, for many years now, I've been a clinical educator. I have my own business where I provide clinical education, more functional medicine for mental health through my certificate program. And so I really have a lot of expertise with mental and metabolic health using a root cause approach. So when Berkeley approached me, where basically it's like, okay, you know how it is as an entrepreneur building your own business and just the grind of that. So to be on a nice, comfy position where I get to interact with providers and train them and do the research, and it's really a great position for me. So I'm pretty excited by the opportunity.
So you get to educate without all the stressors of actually owning this business as part of at least this role, which I get completely. And in fact, with that functional medicine piece and mental health, Faraday and I might need, you know,
we might need a little tip after.
I need a little help there. But anyhow, getting into the nitric oxide or the Berkeley Life. So again, we use it all the time with men and with women, you know, but on our podcast and YouTube channel so far, we have spent more time probably discussing it or have had more comments from the male perspective. So today we would love to get into some science of nitric oxide and nitric oxide production that decreases with age with women. So if we can start there, that would be perfect.
Yep. I think everything in the past has really been around, you know, nitric oxide in the fitness world, right? Working out what it does for the muscles, the body, and then sexual wellness for men, and how that's really where it's taken off for us within our patient population. And then on the YouTube channel and on Spotify and all of our podcasts, men are really, really, really drawn to this topic. Yet in practice, we use it a lot for women. So like Dr. Durst was saying, is really bringing it to the women today.
I'm glad to hear that, because honestly, you know, my background with fitness and nutrition, I mean, when I was like 17 years old selling supplements at GNC, right, we all knew about nitric oxide and NO Explode and all the pre-workout formulations. And for some reason, as I've gotten more into some of these like niche markets, sexual health or aesthetics or anti-aging, it's gotten a little weird for me, because I'm thinking, are people actually using nitric oxide for, you know, what I'm used to using it for, which is athletic performance and recovery from the gym and all of that. So of course, sexual health and erectile dysfunction is one of the major things people think of with nitric oxide, or, you know, blood pressure and cardiovascular. But where it's really exciting is the clinical application of nitric oxide is truly infinite. And to your point, I don't think the women are really getting enough attention in general, considering that about half of women in the United States experience some sort of sexual dysfunction. So I'm glad that we're going to dive into that a little bit more, because when we look at the role that this miracle molecule plays, whether it's the neuroendocrine component or releasing luteinizing hormone, releasing hormone to actually stimulate our sex hormones, or the blood flow to the genitals, I mean, there's so many ways that nitric oxide is directly implicated in female sexual arousal and functionality.
So before we get into those different aspects that you talked about, the brain, you know, and then more on a cellular level, from you know, a female organ standpoint or blood flow. Let's just talk about what Berkeley Life, what the product is that we're talking about, because we're actually not talking about nitric oxide, but we're talking about an increase in nitric oxide and how Berkeley Life impacts that. So why don't you share that with everyone listening?
Yeah, I'd love to. It's an important thing to delineate, because typically when people think of nitric oxide, most people are thinking of the more classically well-known nitric oxide synthase pathway using things like L-arginine or citrulline with all the cofactors to try to push this endogenous pathway. And what we're all doing, any company that is really pioneering the cutting edge of nitric oxide science anymore, it's all about this more primordial ancient nitrate pathway, right? So typically when people are thinking, they hear nitrate or nitrite, they think of, isn't that the thing in hot dogs that's going to give me cancer, which is completely incorrect. The literature has well debunked that, because certainly we use nitrate and nitrite as preservatives in those cured meats or, you know, tobacco and wine. But ultimately nitrate, dietary nitrate, is really coming from our dark green leafy things, you know, the spinach and bok choy, arugula, beets, right? I would argue that we should really be considering dietary nitrate as an essential nutrient, and it might be someday, but that day isn't today.
Not yet.
This is where at Berkeley Life, the company actually started with salivary nitrite test strips, which I think is really cool. It started more as a testing company. We had, you know, this one non-invasive clinical tool with the salivary test strips, and then they built the supplement line around it. So we're actually leveraging a completely different pathway, which is that nitrate to nitrite to nitric oxide pathway, which is really the superior way to go for a lot of reasons. I'm sure we can unpack a little bit more.
Correct. Well, and again, while it should be an essential, I don't think that people, you know, even if it does become, probably do not, are not going to ingest enough. So looking at dietary supplements in addition to, but this is common with creatine, amino acids, all the things. Like, again, adding a supplement to make sure that you get the required amounts is important. And that's what Berkeley Life is. I didn't actually know it started just as a salivary test. I know we have the salivary testing, which we love.
I didn't know built around that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. So that's an interesting historical point. But I think that we use those strips in our patients that are unfamiliar with the fact that their nitric oxide decreases with age due to, you know, aging in general, and that a lot of times we just don't have those substrates like you're talking about with that important pathway of nitrate pathway. And so we can test them.
Yeah. That pathway isn't as strong, or it doesn't work anymore.
And so the fact that we can test them and show them in the office, and so often it's a very light pink, which they're surprised by.
Or nothing.
Yes. Yeah, correct. So I think that's important. So it's a supplement that has all the nitrates necessary in a capsule form, right?
Absolutely. So you'd have to eat like one of those giant tubs of spinach to get the equivalent of dietary nitrate as we're supplying in two capsules. And when you think of how many, you know, millions and millions of Americans, first off, I mean, protein, malnourishment, not eating enough dark green leafy things, poor oral and gut microbiome health. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And to your point, you know, one of the issues that we see through that nitric oxide synthase kind of classic amino acid driven pathway is because so much of the population has elevated oxidative stress and inflammation associated with all these different chronic conditions that we're seeing in younger and younger demographics. A lot of these individuals, they have this NOS uncoupling phenomenon where instead of their body being able to produce this miracle molecule of nitric oxide, it's actually creating radicals that contribute to more oxidative stress, more inflammation. So it can be very self-perpetuating in a negative fashion. So we can completely circumvent this with a nitrate-rich diet and, of course, the dietary nitrate supplementation as well.
Awesome. And then basically using this in addition to even something such as, and again, getting back to women eventually, you know, they can use low-dose tadalafil and sildenafil too. And again, that's not often recognized by women, and it's more
discussed.
Yes. Yeah, correct. So talk about how Berkeley Life, you know, basically sets the stage for those agents like PDE5 inhibitors to work better.
Yeah, the PDE5 inhibitors, so it's decreasing the breakdown of cyclic GMP, which causes that vasodilation, the relaxation of the smooth muscles. But that really is dependent on nitric oxide to begin with. Nitric oxide is what stimulates the cyclic GMP, whereas the PDE5 is inhibiting the breakdown of it. So we do actually see a lot of patients or clients that they might not be getting the desired effects from the PDE5 inhibitors, male or female, because of the nitric oxide deficiency to begin with. And so by supporting their nitric oxide bioavailability, by building up what I call their nitrate pool, right? The scientific literature describes that it's this sort of reservoir, only if we're consuming enough nitrate through the diet on a day-to-day basis. So that way we can pull from that nitrate pool and convert it to nitric oxide whenever we need it, such as if we're about to have sex with our partner, right? So by supplying that nitrate, boosting the nitric oxide, it actually can enhance the efficacy of those PDE5 inhibitors.
And how long does it take really to build up that pool that you're talking about? So how often do they need to take it? How long before they start to see a benefit from the supplement?
Yeah, it's a great question. Nitrate has a half-life of about 8 hours, whereas the nitrite has a half-life of about 45 minutes approximately, whereas nitric oxide, we're talking like 3 milliseconds, right? Mm-hmm. So it depends on how much nitrate they're consuming. And part of it, it seems like the microbiome is really, you know, with its ancient wisdom deciding, well, when do we absorb? How do we convert it? But ultimately, it is very dependent on that constant influx through the diet. And that's part of how we actually recycle nitrite through the body is when we absorb the nitrate and reduce it to nitrite, we'll actually pump it back into the salivary glands to put it into the saliva. So then we're recycling it back through our gastrointestinal system. So that's kind of part of it. But ultimately, we have to be getting adequate nitrate every single day. So like personally, I seem to be, you know, I'm an active fit guy. I seem to burn through a lot of my nitrate because like every morning I'm using my strips throughout the day and I'll be low, low, low and have to, you know, keep dosing up to maintain that adequate pink strip.
Well, that actually brings up a good question because frequently patients will ask, you know, when do I take it? Is it on an empty stomach? Is it not on an empty stomach? But again, we're usually almost talking about just a once a day, 2 capsules. In not talking about redosing. So talk a little bit about that because in fact, maybe they should be testing throughout the day and then supplementing more.
I really like using the strips pretty liberally to guide this, right? Mm-hmm. And so certainly we recommend the 2 capsules every day, usually in the morning, doesn't really matter if it's with food or without food, but ultimately it kind of depends on how much you're burning through it. So like recently we just launched our new nitrate prebiotic gum that supplies about 100 milligrams of the nitrate to replenish the oral microbiome. But it really just depends because part of it's like if they eat a big green leafy salad with beets for lunch, they might be good. So this is, of course, where we can test, not guess, use the strip, see where they're at, and then dose accordingly.
And then would you use that gum in addition to the daily supplement in the morning as well then?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially for individuals using chlorhexidine-based mouthwash, fluoride toothpaste, smoking, vaping, any sort of poor oral hygiene practices.
And so then that half-life is key because it really isn't a long-lasting. You're not really replenishing ever because you're not going to get that pool so high that it stays saturated and there like a creatine. Creatine, it takes a while for it to build up, but once it builds up, it slowly dissipates if you get there, even though you have to take it on a regular basis. But this, it doesn't sound like that's the case at all, really.
The way to think about it is just like we're going to need essential omega-3s every day or essential vitamins and minerals. We need that essential nitrate every single day. So a lot of times when, you know, accounts might be asking us that sort of same question of like, well, do I have to take this product for the rest of my life? It's like, well, do you have to eat salad for the rest of your life?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of up to you.
Yeah.
It's a little bit easier, I think, now that we have all these super green drinks and super beets. Yeah. And so it's easier to get that constant nutrition orally in on top of a supplement. But definitely our patients, we are educating that nutrition side as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that's just, it's something that we commonly get to, and I'm completely on board with you. It's the, like, well, am I going to have to repeat, or am I going to have to take this again? It's like, there's no one and done in life, period.
Ever.
And if you find it, let me know, because, you know, we need to always repeat even, you know, other things that aren't as frequent. But so daily intake of nitrates is important, is the take home. But given your circumstances, disease processes, you know, how actively you're making it, yeah, it may actually deplete, and more than once a day is needed. But I love the test, don't guess. Yeah. That's perfect. Because I agree, you have the strips right there that will tell you whether you have adequate amounts or not.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So now let's talk about ladies.
Yes. All right. So on to the ladies. And so, again, we don't talk enough about that, but when you look at women and sexual health, you're right. You know, a significant proportion of women have sexual dysfunction on some level, and that can be anywhere from sex drive to arousal to orgasmic issues, you know, all kinds of different things. So you're right. It's at least half of women, and probably, you know, a significant proportion of those that are severe. And so,
which then leads to other issues like mental health, like depression and stuff like that.
This product can be used for women to increase blood flow, increase nitric oxide production, therefore increase blood flow. Go ahead and talk a little bit about that, or maybe some studies or anything that we may not know that gives them a little, you know, background on that, you know, hormone / nitric oxide interaction and how it helps with sexual dysfunction in women.
Yeah, there's so many mechanisms that are pretty exciting. I mean, we can confidently say that nitric oxide dysregulation is implicated in virtually all of the top 10 leading causes of death, other than like accidents. That's the only thing that I couldn't find a bunch of literature to support. But when we look at whether it's cardiovascular disease or cerebrovascular dementia, so on and so forth. And so it's really cool when you look at some of the mechanisms, of course, the vasodilation, of course, the blood flow, just for the sake of erection in general, for the sense of, you know, nerve sensations and being able to feel what's going on down there, being aroused. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lubrication aspect is also directly impacted by nitric oxide. But even our hormone balance in general is heavily influenced by nitric oxide. So a lot of signaling is going on in the brain. Nitric oxide actually helps with the neuroendocrine release of our luteinizing hormone, of our follicle stimulating hormone. So without healthy nitric oxide, we're not really going to have healthy levels of estrogen and progesterone and testosterone to have the sexual function to begin with. And of course, as you already pointed out, the blood flow aspect, which is usually the most, you know, talked about mechanism in regards to sexual function.
Well, and I think these are important points that we don't drive home with patients and need education on ourselves, is we think about muscle and vasodilation and, again, increased blood flow to muscles. And we're talking about that from sexual function and, you know, male and female. But the brain, talk a little bit more about that. So basically, brain receptors and hormone production overall, not just luteinizing hormone, are there effects, like, is it dependent, most of the receptors in the brain or hormone production in the brain dependent upon nitric oxide production to happen?
In the hypothalamus specifically, nitric oxide will signal to cause the release of luteinizing releasing hormone that then will tell the pituitary to release the luteinizing hormone and FSH, which will go down to the ovaries to signal all of that orchestra of events. But also, nitric oxide acts as a neurotransmitter in the brain. It actually modulates how we take neural stem cells and mature them into our neurons and integrate those into our existing neural networks. It also controls the release of a lot of our other feel-good neurotransmitters, serotonin, dopamine, glutamate, GABA. So especially you had mentioned kind of the mental health aspect of, you know, is the mental health aspect being caused by, hey, I'm having sexual dysfunction? Is it being caused by the hormone imbalances? Is it being caused by the upstream inhibition of neuroplasticity? So there's a lot of different mechanisms going on here, which is why, all the technical mechanistic jargon aside, we can really safely say that supporting healthy nitric oxide signaling, it's going to make everything else work better.
So we did a podcast on, again, hysterectomies, sexual dysfunction, the fact that there are so many women, and the earlier they are, the more sexual dysfunction they have. And that if you have sexual dysfunction and it's not diagnosed and not screened for, that you have an increase, 200% increase in depression.
Depression. It was like
Psychiatric,
214% increases of depression in women
and it
with sexual
really was
dysfunction.
sexual dysfunction, but it really the root source is sexual dysfunction causing it. So the issue, and I was getting ready to ask you about mood and nitric oxide. Do we see mood improvement? But if somebody is having some mood disorder and potentially it's related to sexual dysfunction, that this is one way to actually supplement, at least take the nitric oxide part of it out of play
And
and
rule it
see if
out.
you still have, some issues with it. So, yeah, you touched on a very important point because we will put them on antidepressants, but we actually will not treat sexual dysfunction and don't even ask or screen for it in the gynecologist and primary care offices. So,
We see that a lot in our practice. We don't put them on antidepressants. We look at hormones. But what we
yeah.
see is they come in on them when we can usually take them off antidepressants just by regulating hormones. But maybe even adding nitric oxide supplementation to see if that is further helping.
When you think about how those neuropsychiatric drugs cause sexual dysfunction
Yes.
and can cause increased suicidal ideation, and like SSRIs, for example, inhibit nitric oxide. So it can become this, very vicious cycle of people are being put on these sort of band-aid medications. That's how I got into the specialty of mental health was, I was, had this career that was metabolic in nature with fitness nutrition, but I was struggling with my mental health and it had nothing to do with my metabolic health, right? So certainly that's why, it's such a privilege to get to educate on this miracle molecule of nitric oxide. Because it ties together, my fitness origins, but also the mental health component, the sexual health. So there's just so many aspects that can be enhanced when we're supporting healthy nitric oxide signaling.
Well, and I think that again, so you have been involved and have experience in two of the big players with nitric oxide. So the fitness world knows about it. And again, the what isn't known, and so mental health, part of it, but sexual wellness is kind of an untapped where we don't talk enough about it. We don't screen for it. We don't educate in traditional medicine on the things we can do to regenerate or to
No.
supplement or
We give a
to.
pill to men and we tell women it's part of aging.
Yeah. And so you have a great opportunity to now educate in sexual wellness for both men and women on things we can do in comprehensively addressing it, which is just an untapped. I mean, patients are looking for it. So our viewers are looking for it. That's why they're so interested in nitric oxide and sexual wellness, because no one else is talking about it. So this is an exciting time for you. You get to go from fitness and mental health, and now you get to tie it into the sexual wellness, which is a huge missing piece of that for us.
Are you guys seeing more of that on your end? Are you seeing more clinics like ours that are looking outside the box, right? We're not just looking at it for the cardiovascular benefits, but are looking at it more for sexual wellness, or mental health, fitness. Are you seeing more clinics like that emerge?
Yeah, it's interesting for me with my background in fitness, and these days I'm so deeply rooted in the functional medicine space, and I do see a big lack of the fitness and the metabolic in functional medicine. It's starting to kind of spill over a little bit more. Personally, anti-aging, aesthetics, sexual health—these are areas, industries, markets that I've never personally paid a lot of attention to. But through Berkeley, I am getting connected to some of these other niche markets, and I'm seeing the demand, and I'm seeing, wow, this is a huge need. There's a lot of people suffering in ways that I hadn't even really thought of. I've been so focused on mental and metabolic, but to your point, so some of our big areas, sexual health is a huge area of focus, anti-aging, of course, with as we age, as you already alluded to, nitric oxide and endothelial function plummet very quickly. But also the oral hygiene space is a big area of focus for us as well. So like holistic dentistry and all of that. And it gets cool because then before you know it, like we could have a conversation about the oral microbiome and how that's affecting sexual function, right? So it gets pretty fun pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, I think most problems do start with the GI tract. We haven't tied it back to the GI tract yet, but I'm sure that there's a huge component. But speaking of that, and to round this out, is there something from a dietary standpoint that you would recommend on a daily basis for men or for women? And, you know, again, the supplements with Berkeley Life, morning, night, you know, just kind of overall dietary, something that you is like a very simple game plan for them on a daily basis, and then how to supplement with the Berkeley Life product.
You know how it is these days, we're overcomplicating nutrition, or at least some of the influencers on Instagram are. So like two big demographics I've been sort of lovingly calling out, carnivores and low oxalate, right? Because if you think about our major sources of nitrate through the diet, it's all the dark green leafy things. So if you're on a low oxalate diet, that is by definition a low nitrate diet. And of course, the carnivores, which I'm still confused why they do what they do, but they're consuming no greens at all, right? So personally, I have always been an advocate of organic whole foods, plenty of plants, plenty of animals, balanced macros. I used to, you know, write macronutrition plans in my sleep and everything, but it doesn't need to be overly complicated. I think, you know, sourcing our food as close to the earth as possible, getting the grass fed and the organic, and it takes a lot of intuition and experimentation to find the right composition, but ultimately mindful eating, intuitive eating of whole foods is really where it's at. And of course, using the salivary test nitrite test strips. If you're getting enough nitrate from the diet, good for you. You're in the, you know, 0.01%. But for the majority of people, and of course, you know, soil quality and nitrate content of the produce, we can obviously now supplement with nitrate as well to make sure we're getting adequate levels.
Awesome. Do you recommend women supplement the same way as men with the tablets?
It's a good question. You know, I've been playing around with it a little bit. What's really cool about the nitrate, it has this sort of adaptogenic quality to it where it's seemingly impossible to really overdo the nitrate, right? Because your body will decide when it needs to be converted into nitric oxide. But ultimately, I stick with the two capsules and I use the strips to really guide that. For example, my stepmother, you know, she's got some AFib and some heart issues and everything. So when I gave her the product for the first time, I was guiding her on like, okay, use the strip and then let me know. And I was telling her like, let's start with one capsule, see how you respond. And it's really cool. The first time I ever took the product, I got a sort of flush from it, not like an unpleasant niacin flush, but a like very pleasant kind of a head rush, feeling a little hypomanic and energized. And it was great. So it's amazing how just increased perfusion and oxygenation, you think about how many people have, you know, brain fog and air hunger and sluggishness and fatigue and mitochondrial dysfunction. So it's amazing how quickly it can kind of turn the lights back on.
Yeah, but that does fade for the listeners out there. That happened the first time. It probably doesn't happen anymore, correct? That flush.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that rush from it. Yeah, I just feel good all the time now.
Yeah, but it's still working. Yes. You just acclimate to the effects of it, you know, the initial effects. Well, perfect. Well, awesome. It was very educational. I appreciate it. I appreciate you being on. We loved the information and our listeners will too. And again, anyone that's out there that has experience with the Berkeley Life, with other supplements, you know, that increase nitric oxide, or any questions related to that, or nitrates or dietary intake, let us know. And we're willing to bring up anything again. And Brendan, I'm sorry, I'm always slaughtering a name, right? Again, we would love to have you on again, talking about or answering any questions that our listeners may have. So thank you for being on with us today.
Absolutely. It was lovely to meet you both and get the opportunity to speak with you both. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you so much.